to Exodus chapter 27. Now, in the prior chapters, we looked at the furniture and the materials used in the tabernacle. Now, a new section begins, and we began to look at the service that was done in the tabernacle. And it's fitting, since spiritual life begins with the Holy Spirit regenerating us, giving us the light of life, it's fitting that this portion that deals with the service in the tabernacle begins with speaking of the oil that was for the lamps. Because that's a picture of the Spirit of God giving us light. Now, let's read this together, Exodus 27, verse 20. He says, "Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his son shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on behalf of the children of Israel." Our subject this morning is our need for the pure oil. Our need of the pure oil. Christ our high priest, Christ our high priest uses his ministers to preach the gospel, and through the word he sends the Holy Spirit. He sends the oil, and the Holy Spirit gives us light. The light of life is what he gives us. This is through Christ our high priest. He uses the means of preaching, and the Holy Spirit is given to give us life. Now, first of all, the oil here had to be pure oil, olive, beaten. It had to be pure oil, olive, beaten. Now, the process that was used to bring forth this pure olive oil involved wounding and bruising the olive. That was the process. This was different than grinding in a mill, because when they did that, they would grind the olive, the seed, everything. And so that oil wouldn't be pure olive oil. This process involved wounding, just the skin of the olive, and bruising the skin of the olive, and then the oil actually came from the olive of itself, by itself. And so it was pure olive oil. This is what God required. The reason he required this pure olive oil, is it typifies the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, holy, holy. The Lord Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit above all other children of God. And do you remember how Scripture tells us that? It says, Psalm 45:7 says, "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." He's saying he's anointed you with the Spirit above your fellows. But it's called the oil of gladness. Holy Spirit is typified by oil in the Scripture. And so it's had to be pure, because God, the Holy Spirit, is holy. He's pure. The third person in the Trinity is pure and holy as God the Father and God the Son. So this to be a good picture, this oil had to be pure. Had to be pure. The Holy Spirit's work is to take chosen, redeemed sinners Those the Father chose, those the Son redeemed, and He is to make us holy by making us a new creation. A new creation. Everything He makes is holy. Everything God makes is holy. And He creates within His people a new man. Scripture says, and He consecrates us in righteousness and true holiness. The word true holiness there means in opposition to that pretended, feigned, fake holiness that men claim to have. Men say that this work of making us holy is not complete. But whenever the Spirit of God creates a new man within us, that new man can be nothing but holy. That new man is nothing but holy. And that will not be added to. That will not be added to. We grow in grace and knowledge of Christ, but we don't grow more holy. We're holy. We're holy as we'll be, because the Spirit of God created that new man. And you think about men call subduing the flesh. They call that growth in holiness. Well, the flesh is just held in check by the Holy Spirit of God. But that flesh is not becoming more holy. Our flesh is not growing in holiness at all. It's only in the new man that we grow in grace, the grace of Christ and the knowledge of Christ. But that new man is holy from the moment it's created by God, because everything He makes is perfect. The Lord who commands us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," He's the one who makes us holy. It's He that makes us holy. Now, this oil had to come from the olive being wounded and bruised. Wounded and bruised. Because the Holy Spirit of God is sent by Christ through Christ being wounded and bruised for His people. Isaiah 53:5, it says, "He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed." Christ was not destroyed. He was not destroyed like the olive that was ground, seed and all. He was not destroyed. Our Lord Jesus was beaten. He was wounded, and He was bruised. He was wounded, and He was bruised, because the reason was He bore the iniquities of His people. The only way He could be wounded and bruised, He bore the iniquities of His people. He suffered the stripes of chastisement that made peace with God for His people. He suffered those stripes that made peace with God for His people. And so with His stripes, we are healed. With His stripes, we're healed. Now, our Lord told us before He went to the cross, He said, when He was resurrected, having justified all His people, having made all His people righteous, He said, when He arose, "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter." Christ was a comforter, but He says, "I'll pray the Father, He'll give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him." He's saying this to His people, to those He redeemed. "You know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And so this pure oil olive beaten, it shows us how that the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, was given us through our Lord Jesus Christ being wounded and bruised in the place of His people. You get that? That's how we receive the Spirit. Now, secondly, notice the purpose of the oil. Verse 20. The purpose of the oil was, it says, "for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. It was for the light to cause the lamp to burn always. That lamp that was in the first room of the tabernacle. Remember we looked at the candlestick and that lamp, that's the one we're talking about. This oil was so it would burn always. Now, without the oil, there would be no light. Without the oil, the lamp would have just been an empty vessel. Well, brethren, without the Holy Spirit of God, we can have no light. We would be just an empty earthen vessel without the Spirit of God. And darkness is opposed. Nothing better portrays being opposed to the worship of God than darkness. They can't exist together, light and darkness. And so what we were in ourselves was nothing but darkness. That's all we were in ourselves, with darkness. We didn't have any light, and we couldn't produce any light. We would have just remained in that state. Brother Ben last week or the other week told us, dead man can't do anything. We couldn't have done anything if we were dead. And so we had to have this oil given to us. We by nature were those described in Psalm 107 verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. That's where we were. We were bound in affliction and iron. We couldn't break free. Why were we in that state? Because in Adam, we rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. That's why. And so light must be given to us from God the Holy Spirit. The oil of the Spirit must enter in, and He must produce the light in us. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God did. The Spirit of God. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's how the first creation was created. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. How's the new creation? How's this new creation? How's a new man created within God's people? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep within His people. And 2 Corinthians 4, 6 says, and God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, just like He did back there in creation, He hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at what Paul said in verse 5. He said, this is why we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake, because God commanded the light to shine. That's why we preach the truth. Look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Just like that lamp had the Spirit of God within it. It was an earthen vessel, and it had the Spirit of God within it. We're an earthen vessel. An earthen vessel. And we have this treasure, this Spirit of God dwelling in us, and it makes us preach the gospel of Christ Jesus in truth, so that when another sinner is born of God, the power's of God and not of us. That's what he's saying. Now get this and understand this. A sermon, whatever sermon you hear, a sermon, if it does not give Christ all the glory, it's not of God the Holy Spirit. That is plain and clear from what Paul just said. Without the Spirit of God, it doesn't matter. A man won't preach the truth. And if you hear a message and it doesn't give Christ all the glory and put sinners in the dust and make us entirely dependent upon God and give God all the glory for salvation, the Spirit of God has nothing to do with it. Listen to this. Isaiah 8:20 says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Men like to make excuses for preachers. Well, there is no excuse. If men speak and it's not according to this word of God, it's not giving Christ all the glory, it's because they do not have the oil of the Spirit giving them light. That's why. Listen to what Christ said. Go to John 16. I'll back that up. I'll back it up right here. John 16. Look at what our Lord Jesus said. Verse 13. He said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." There's no ifs or maybes in that. That's certainty. That's why Christ could say way back through the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 3:15, he could say, "I will give you pastors after my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Because they're going to be born of the Spirit of God, and therefore they're going to preach Christ and Him crucified. They're going to give God all the glory. Now, back in our text, we see another point of good news. That oil kept the lamp burning always. It kept the lamp burning always. When Christ gives the oil of gladness, when the Spirit of God enters in, He never forsakes His regenerated child. The Spirit of God dwells in His people throughout the days of our life on this earth once we've been born of the Spirit. When He enters in, He never leaves, so that His child has the light of life always. Back there in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul said, "As we have received mercy, we faint not." We receive mercy by the Holy Spirit of God, and it's by the Holy Spirit of God that we don't faint. We continue by the Spirit of God, burning always. Christ said, "I'll pray the Father, He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Forever. That's how come Scripture says, Scripture tells us, if you continue in the faith, if you persevere in the faith, then that is the proof that you really are a child of God. Because the Spirit of God, once given, always is with us, always abides in us. That one who professes to believe and then falls away, ceases to assemble with God's people, doesn't need the gospel anymore. Why did they do that? Oh, well, God must have failed. No. They never were born of the Spirit of God to begin with. Never were. Now, thirdly, let's go back to our text. Notice where the oil was kept burning, and notice who kept it burning. Look here in verse 21. "In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony." That holiest of holies is where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the testimony was. That's where the covenant was. And outside of that holiest of holies was that first room, the tabernacle, and it was in that room, that first room, that tabernacle, is where the lamp was. And look who put the oil in and who kept it burning. Aaron and his son shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. Now that tabernacle of congregation, without the veil, outside of that holiest of holies, That's a picture of the house and church of God in this earth. That's what there's a picture of. The holiest of holies is God's presence where Christ is seated, and this tabernacle of congregation is his house, his church. A picture of his house and his church. Aaron was the high priest. Aaron pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our high priest. And Aaron's sons, they were priests. Not high priests, they were priests. And they typify those that Christ redeemed, and through his blood he made us priests unto God. And here, in this particular picture, they especially typify his ministers who preach the word. Who preach the word. It's in God's house, in his right here, where we're, his people are assembled through the preaching of this gospel. Through the preaching of the gospel, that Christ our high priest continually fills his people with the oil of the Holy Spirit. He does it. He does it. And he does it through the preaching of the word delivered by his sons, his ministers. That's how it's done. Now God here, he's reminding you and me, brethren, as believers, that we need the oil of the Holy Spirit. He's teaching us we need this oil constantly. And he's teaching us that it's given by Christ our high priest. It's given through his gospel. And he teaches that by having the children of Israel to bring the oil. They brought the oil. Now, it's not because we can produce the oil of the Spirit. That's not what's being said there. That's not the picture. It's not because we can produce the Holy Spirit ourselves. It's to remind us we need Christ to give us the oil. We need Christ to fill our lamp. We need the Holy Spirit in our vessels to keep the light burning continually. And it's to remind us of the means that Christ uses. It's through the preaching of his word. It's through praying and singing. It's through the reading of Christ's word that the Lord strengthens his people with the Holy Spirit, that he fills us with this oil and keeps us continually burning. Now get that lesson. Here you have a sanctified lamp in the tabernacle. God's already sanctified. He already set it apart. He already said, this lamp is only for my holy use. That's you, believer. You're sanctified by God. He set you apart by the Holy Spirit in regeneration and declared, you're only for my holy use. You're consecrated to God, devoted to God for God's holy use. But even that sanctified vessel in the tabernacle of the congregation had to have oil put in it continually, or the light wouldn't burn. And that's you and me. We've been sanctified by God, but we have to have Christ give us new oil, fresh oil, and continue to give us oil. Remember the psalm we were in Saturday night? Somebody tell me what psalm that was. I can't remember. Does that make y'all feel better? I know you forget the message. I can't remember what psalm we were in. What was it? 92, yeah, Psalm 92. Look at it there. What it said. What was one of the things we thanked him for? We thanked him for strengthening us. He says in verse 10, my horn, my strength, shall thou exalt like that of a wild ox. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. With fresh oil. And that's what he does. He gives you fresh oil through the preaching of the word, through the study of the word, through the singing of Christ, and everything you hear through this means. He gives you fresh oil and strengthens you. And do you remember the foolish and the wise women? The parable of the foolish and the wise women? In Matthew 25, it tells us that, I'll just read a portion of it, but in Matthew 25, He tells us in verse 3, he says, there were foolish virgins that took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And look down at verse 9, when the foolish went to the wise and said, we don't have any oil, we need some oil. The wise told them, go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now here's what we're learning in this picture in our text. You and I, believer, continually must go to Christ. We continually must go to Christ. He says, come, buy without money and without price. This is free, but you have to continually go to Christ. Once you've been born of the Spirit of God, once you've been given the oil and the light begins to burn, it'll never be taken away. But we have to keep coming to Christ, our great high priest, to receive more oil. He's the only one that can give it, the Holy Spirit. And he does so through this word, assembled together under the preaching of Christ crucified. And then take what you've heard and be always in the Word of God, studying what you've heard, looking these things up to see if these things be so. And our Lord Jesus Christ will continue to give us the Holy Spirit so that we continually have fresh oil and the light continues to burn. It'll never go out. You notice there at the end, it says this was a statute. That's a law. It was a law forever unto their generations. That means until the one it typified came. Until the one it typified came. Then when Christ has come, though, now he's given us a statute forever. We have this standing law forever. It's this. To you that's been born of God through the gospel, you must continually come to Christ. Continually come to Christ. And it's through this means of the gospel he'll continue to give fresh oil. That's why we read in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're to encourage one another to continue assembling together. Encourage one another not to forsake the gospel of Christ, because this is the means he's chosen to keep our light burning. I pray that's a blessing to you. Let's stand together. Our gracious Father, we come to you in Christ Jesus our Lord, begging you to send forth the Holy Spirit and give us this fresh oil. We have no light. We can't produce light. We need you, Lord, to send this oil through Christ Jesus the Lord. We thank you, Father, that you sent your Son and he justified us and made us righteous. We're thankful that you regenerated us by the Spirit of God. And Lord, we're so thankful that you preserve us. If you don't continue the work you've begun, we can't continue. Preserve us, Lord. Keep us. Continue to fill these vessels and make the light of Christ burn. Lord, we ask that you keep us coming to Christ. Never let us grow beyond coming to Christ. Never let us grow beyond being absolutely dependent upon our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Lord, keep us always at his feet. Keep us hearing his gospel. Keep us filled with the Spirit of God. Lord, teach us to not grieve the Holy Spirit. Teach us not to walk as children of darkness, but to walk as children of light. And Lord, we thank you that these are the promises you've given to your people. We ask now in the second hour that you'd bless the word, bless the reading of the word. Bless the preaching and the singing. And Lord, keep us filled by this spirit of light, this oil. Forgive us our sins, Father. Be with those that couldn't be here today, that have sickness in their families and other troubles. And we pray that you would bless this word to their heart too. And forgive us, Lord, our sin and our unbelief. We ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.